This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, a composer for scary movies tries to hit the right note. First, as he did 4 years ago, Ralph Nader's running for president again. And as they did 4 years ago, Democrats are worrying about what that means for their guy. Here's NPR's Luke Burbank.
A few minutes before Ralph Nader was due to appear at the Emmanuel AME Church in Harlem, some kids were playing basketball across the street. And although he'd never actually heard of Nader, 11-year-old Shaheen Blake asked the same question many Democrats have.
How does he run for president when Bush and Kerry run for president?
If those Democrats had their way, the race would be just between Mr. Bush and Mr. Kerry. Although polls showed Nader's lost much of the steam he had 4 years ago, even a small shift in a state like Florida could make all the difference. As evidence, many bitter Democrats point to the 2000 election, when Nader got 97,000 ballots in Florida, a state Mr. Bush ended up winning by just 537 votes. Nader, on the other hand, says he's not stealing votes because his supporters are not would-be Kerry voters. He says if he wasn't on the ballot, they would stay home altogether. James Lane is just such a person.
I'm an example of someone who never voted until 2000. 35 years old was the first time I voted, because Ralph Nader was the only presidential candidate that I felt represented a lot of issues that I had.
Nader arrives at the church, where about 40 people are waiting. The group is made up of his supporters and detractors, a microcosm of the national debate surrounding Nader. Inside, he addresses the packed house. With so much of his time and money spent just getting on the ballot, this is a moment when Nader can finally do some good old-fashioned stumping. And stump he does.
We can go in, as recommended by Thomas Jefferson, into the electoral arena to mobilize new political and civic energy of the American people.
Nader gets four standing ovations as he talks about ending the war, raising the minimum wage, and the other planks in his platform. But as soon as he heads down to the church basement, the press is right back at it.
What would you say to the possibility that you might wind up playing spoiler to one of the other candidates?
This is a recurring pattern at Nader press conferences. He tries to talk policy, but the media fixate on why he's running. That bothers Nader.
The press always falls into a trap of focusing on horse race and tactics. And so the press loses the great opportunity of fertilizing advancing a public debate.
Nader is on the ballot in 34 states and the District of Columbia. He's running as an independent, but depending on which state you're in, he could be appearing under a number of different parties. Among others, he's on the populist ticket in Alaska, the Independent Party in Delaware, and the Reform Party in Mississippi. Pressure to drop out has come from far and wide. For instance, 50 members of the Italian Parliament sent him a letter asking him not to run. Even some of Nader's friends.
Ralph was at our wedding, and he was even at my birthday party last year.
Mike Perchuk has been a friend and colleague of Nader's for over 30 years. And although he supported Nader back in 2000 and considers him personally inspiring, he says he's opposing Nader's run.
Ralph is really our contemporary biblical prophet, Old Testament prophet. The prophets were very good at outrage, but they weren't particularly good political leaders.
In the car, on the way to his next campaign stop, Nader laments his former allies, who he says are so angry at Mr. Bush, they're willing to settle for John Kerry. No questions asked.
By giving Kerry a free ride under the mantra, anybody but Bush, leave Kerry alone, they're letting Kerry be pulled to the corporate side. Therefore, by not making Kerry better, they make him worse.
Fighting the corporate and political status quo has largely consumed Nader's life. At 70, he's never married and has no children. He gives away most of his income and lives alone in an apartment in Washington. For those who wonder why he's running, despite all the criticism he's received, it might be because rattling the political cage is really all he knows.
If you pursue the abuses of big government, you don't have much time. And so I've had to choose, and I've chosen to be a full-time citizen.
He concedes he'll lose this election, but Nader says he's planting the seeds of a movement that will eventually dismantle the two-party political system. Mike Perchuk wonders how his friend will be remembered in that future. He says he hopes history sees Nader as a tireless crusader for the common man, but
what I'm afraid of course, is that he will be seen as a spoiler, as someone who jeopardized perhaps the most important election in our lifetimes.
We should know more about Ralph Nader's legacy come November 3rd. That is, assuming we know who the next president will be. For Day to Day, I'm Luke Burbank in Washington.